started, we're not taking action today, but we're going to try to hear all of these bills, hopefully, this afternoon. If not, we come back tonight. And, you know, kind of, at least I don't want to come back tonight if we don't have to, but they're going to be. They're all going to be for possible inclusion of the omnibus liquor bill, so that's how we're going to handle this, and that's what the motions will be this afternoon. We're going to do Senator Brown, 66, Senator Reinhart, 1212. Then I think, to be consistent, we'll go to Metzen on the Inver Grove Heights. These are golf course wannabe liquor. I think part of the thinking there, in my opinion, is that golf course has been kind of tough business the last few years, and competition, so I think they want to be able to get a little help in this manner and maybe stay afloat. That's what I'm thinking. That's what I'm going to say when my bill comes up. But anyway, with that, we'll go with Senator Brown, Reinhart, and Metzen. They all have to do with the liquor license authorization at the golf courses. So, Senator, and they've all, not that we talk about this too much, but I know that these all passed unanimously in the other body. So, Senator Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. This bill, the situation, Becker, is they own the city golf course. We've had restaurant owners in the facility in the past. That's no longer the case, and the city of Becker would like to continue to offer alcoholic beverages to the golfers who come to the golf course. So alcohol has always been available in the past. They want to continue that, and they would need to be able for the legislature to pass this for them to be able to do that. Very similar to what we did for Golden Valley last year.
Okay, sounds good. Anybody opposed to this? Senator Brown will move that Senate Bill 66 be considered, was that statement?
For inclusion.
For inclusion in the omnibus bill. Possible inclusion. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion prevails. Senator Reinhart. This is a Duluth.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. I thought you were just going to do the bill for me, and that would be
I could do that for you. All in favor?
On this one.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, similar, though not quite identical to Senator Brown's, the Lester Park Golf Course is city-owned in Duluth. It is run through a concessionaire. As you alluded to, Mr. Chairman, the golf course industry has not been the most robust lately. And the concessionaire is looking for the opportunity to serve alcoholic beverages at the golf course. Members, Duluth has a little bit of a unique situation in that the Lester Park and Lakeside neighborhoods are dry neighborhoods. When they were incorporated into the city of Duluth, they wanted that, and that is how they came in. The boundary for the Lester Park neighborhood kind of runs through the center of the golf course. So what this would do is just move the boundary so that it conforms with the boundary of the golf course, and the concessionaire there would be able to serve liquor. So that's okay, the
anybody
bill,
wish to testify against this measure? Senator Reinhart, you can make the motion then.
Mr. Chairman, I would move that you lay over Senate File 1212 for possible inclusion in an omnibus liquor bill.
On that motion, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion prevails. Senate File 360, if without objection, it's kind of for all the same reasons as we were doing the other two. And anybody opposed to this? This is the Metzen bill on the golf course on, in Inver Grove Heights, a municipal course there. Those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion prevails. Senator Hayden,
good to see
Minneapolis
you.
Norway House on Sale intoxicating liquor license. Welcome, Senator Hayden.
Good. Well, thank you, Mr. Chair and members. Today I have Senate File 1423, a bill to issue a liquor license to the Norway House, which is located in the heart of my district. This is similar to a number of licenses we've issued in the past, including a license last year to the American Swedish Institute, which is also located in my district, Mr. Chair. With me to discuss the merits of the bill is John Peterson, the chair of the Norway House.
Mr. Peterson, welcome to the Minnesota Senate.
Thank you very much, and thank you, Senator Hayden, for sponsoring this bill. As the chair of Norway House and representing a million Norwegian Americans in the immediate area, 10 years ago, the Norwegian Consul General said to a group of us, I've seen the Swedish Institute, where's the Norwegian Institute? Well, we set a goal to finally have a home, and we're located on 913 East Franklin. And we have a building now, and we have a home, And we're right next to the Norwegian Lutheran Memorial Church in Bindekirken, the only church in North America where the services are still in Norwegian every Sunday. And we're looking to be a bridge between Norway and here, and I'll be over there next month meeting with their Storting, their Congress.
Mr. Peterson, have you checked your family tree? My mother was a Peterson. And Norwegian.
Yeah, two of you are schlecht.
So
I think
same
we're related.
You, buddy. Yeah. What the hell ever you said. All right. Oh, anybody opposed to this Norwegian on-sale license? Senator?
Mr. Chair, thank you. I'm not opposed to it. I just have a question as to why you don't just go through the Minneapolis city process. Is there some reason that it has to be done legislatively?
I've been told there is a reason. City of Minneapolis is our next step. And we will need a letter from the church because of the proximity to the church itself.
They just need a license.
But the first step in this is the here in the legislature.
So, Mr.
Senator,
I can answer.
Mr. Chair and Senator Dames, this has just been kind of our process. We've done this in the past. We do have Gene Ranieri here from the City of Minneapolis to kind of talk about why they would prefer us to come through the legislature. Or also
the way I've got to let the council take a shot at it.
Yep. Okay. Mr. Chairman, members, under the liquor code, cities can issue licenses under current authority just to designated entities, restaurants, and so forth. Once in a while, we get a prospective licensee that doesn't quite fit into the code, and we have to give special liquor authorization for them. And things like the Swedish Institute, Norway House fit in that category, and they must come to legislature for.
Yeah, we're going
to
do this.
Thank you
for approval.
We don't, Ranieri, you did one of your better jobs here. Okay. Anybody opposed to this? Anybody opposed to it? Senator Pappas, you can make the motion.
I'll make the motion.
Possibly include this in the.
So moved.
On the Pappas motion, all those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed. Motion prevails.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members.
Long at this and talk.
Yeah, same to you, buddy. That wasn't nasty, was it?
Now,
yes.
Well,
I think we're going to take,
for the fact, yes.
Without objection, I think we'll go to the Sunday liquor at 8 o'clock thing, and somebody, I know it's been called that Bloody Mary thing. I think you can sell a product at 8 o'clock every other day of the week, as far as I know. Is that correct? Yes, just say yes. We have Cynthia Curtis, co-owner of Hell's Kitchen, and Mr. McElroy, you guys want to make a brief remarks on this 8 o'clock?
Yes, thank you. My name is Cynthia Curtis. I am one of the owners at Hell's Kitchen. Hell's Kitchen is selling almost $8 million worth of food and beverage each year. About $750,000 went to state taxes, and I'd like to add to that coffer. We support one change in a bill that's over 100 years old, changing the Sunday serving time from 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. Our customers want it. They want brunch before they go to church sometimes, after they've had a wedding, and just to enjoy one Bloody Mary. So that's why we're calling it the Bloody Mary bill. And I promise not to bother you like I promised the House. If you pass it, I won't bother you for 100 years.
Are you going to be around? Or
got it.
Mr. McElroy, Representative McElroy, always good to see you, my friend.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have nothing to add. It's one of the simplest bills I've ever seen. It's delete 10 a.m. and insert 8 a.m.
Okay, anybody, people in the audience, like to speak for or against this? If not, I will make the motion to include this for possible consideration in the omnibus liquor bill. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion prevails.
Thank you.
We've got the Senate files 373. I think this is kind of a cleanup bill, if I'm not mistaken. We'll let counsel kind of go through it a little bit here.
Mr. Chairman, Senate file 373 arises as a result of a provision in last year's omnibus liquor bill, which requested the reviser of statutes to recodify current liquor law relating to small brewers, brew pubs, and micro distilleries. It was felt that it was very hard to kind of follow in the statutes, what applied to what, and it was confusing. And the reviser put a lot of work in over the interim in coming up with this bill, and it's been vetted, I believe, with all interested parties. I was able to give some input on it as well as House staff, so I think it's in pretty good shape, and it will lead to a more readable liquor code in terms of these licensees.
And what I understand, Council, is that all the interested parties were part of this conversation. Is that correct?
Mr. Chairman, it's been distributed to all of them. Comments, when they made sense, were incorporated, and nobody has objected to it.
Okay. Streamlines some of the bills in the past. Any discussion on that? Seeing none, all those in favor of including Senate File 373 for possible inclusion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion prevails. Okay, we're going to have Senator Reinhart and Desick come to the front. This has to do with the sale of growlers. I think this passed this committee last year, and I'll take a little of the blame for this. We had a little dinky provision on taxes, and we sent the whole bill over there, and then they got involved in this. But with that, Senator Reinhart, I know Senator Reinhart's been working on this for quite a while, and I know Senator Desick has a few in your district, so you may proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll open up, and then Senator Dietzick can add her bill, slightly different from mine. But members, you well remember, the chairman's correct. We worked on this last year, and what this does is it allows microbreweries and brew pubs to sell their growlers. You remember those, the glass containers or plastic containers 7 days a week. Mr. Chairman, when we get there, I've got a testifier down from Duluth, Canal Park Brewery. They were here last year as well. My bill just applies to both of those, both the microbreweries and the brew pubs. With that, I'll let Senator Dietzick add to that.
Thank you, Member.
Senator Dietzick, welcome to the Commerce Committee.
Thank you. My bill, Senate File 1919, like Senator Reinhart said, is a little different. Mine, I think there's literally two lines in there that request that they tell us the amount of product that they are selling on Sundays off sale. The reason I'm interested in this, and I represent Northeast and Southeast Minneapolis, and Northeast, the lower portion of Northeast Minneapolis, was the original liquor district in Minneapolis, so it was one of the only places outside of downtown that you could get liquor. We have a rich tradition. We had a rich tradition of brew pubs, or not brew pubs, but bars and breweries in the area. And so now that has continued with a whole bunch of brew pubs. They have provided energy and jobs in the district. They have embraced the community, are active in community. And when we have time, I actually do have a testifier from Indeed Brewery, who is one of the first in Northeast here as well.
I have a little concern about some of that language where it might have to go to public safety, but I'll think about that.
Okay.
Because we want our bill, good bill, coming out of here, right? Right. Sometimes our good bills go other places and are not so good.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Kasauka.
Would both of these have a public safety issue, or just one over the other? Or?
I think just the second one.
Well, Mr. Chairman, public safety is the regulator of the liquor code. Generally, liquor bills have gone to the floor unless they've got a provision in there which strays outside the bounds of the liquor code. Last year, the reason the bill went to taxes was there was some, I think, tax exemptions in there. And obviously, when it goes to another committee, the full bill is subject to amendment. I note in 1919 that there's a report that gets generated, as Senator Dietzick indicated. It goes to the Commissioner of Revenue, which may implicate the Tax Committee in the Senate. I'm not sure that isn't a report that could go to the Commissioner of Public Safety, who regulates liquor currently, but something to think about.
Mr. Chair?
I've been thinking about it. Senator Dietzick.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My understanding was because they already file, it's just literally a line to determine, you know, how much product is going out. And so they already file, you know, we figured it could be just one line added to the stuff that they already file with revenue. And so that's just why, you know, they've got their tax reports. We just thought one little line on there. And okay, so that's why it was picked for revenue.
We'll look at that and see. Senator Brown, did you have a comment?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Senator Dietzick, I just want to make sure I'm reading this correctly. Your bill would call for off-sale Sunday liquor sales for growlers. Is that correct?
Correct.
Why would we, if we're going to do Sunday off-sales, why would we limit it to growlers?
I don't think that's her bill, so I don't know why you're asking her to comment.
It is her bill, Mr. Chair.
Okay, go ahead.
My understanding is that right now you can, in a tap room, you can buy beer in the tap room, but you can't buy the growlers on Sundays.
Senator Dietzick, your bill's calling for off sale on Sundays for growlers.
I'm confused, so I'll ask counsel to explain.
Very seldom the chair is confused.
Yeah.
A little bit there, but.
Mr. Chairman, members, a couple differences between the Reinert bill, and I have an amendment to clean up the Reinert bill, which maybe we should do, and then I could explain the differences between the two bills for the committee.
Mr. Chairman, if we could, with the A1 amendment, which I would move as the author, captures both brew pubs and microbrews.
Okay, give us a 20-word explanation.
That was it, Mr. Chairman.
Very good. We didn't understand it, but it was a good explanation. Okay, we'll do the A1 amendment.
I would move the A1 amendment.
Okay, all those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion prevails.
No.
Okay.
Council is going to explain it.
All right. Okay, the differences between the two are as follows. Senator Dietzick's bill, as Senator Brown pointed out, requires the malt liquor to be sold in growlers only. Right now, brew pubs and small brewers' off-sale business can also include 750-milliliter bottles. So this would say 6 days a week they could sell those two kinds of containers, a growler and a bottle, but on Sundays they have to sell growlers only. Second point, if you'll see the line 1.17, growlers sold on Sundays must be filled at the time of sale. Senator Reinert has no such restriction in his bill. In other words, under Senator Reinert's bill, oftentimes, it's my understanding, these licensees will pre-fill the growlers and kind of have them in the cooler ready to go. This would require them to do it at the time of sale. So those are the two main differences. One more. Senator Dietzick has the reporting requirement to the Commissioner of Revenue on the amount of malt liquor sold at off sale, and Senator Reinert does not have any reporting.
Okay, so Mr. Senator
Chair,
Brown.
Getting back to my question then to either author, why would we do it just for these two instances, off sale Sunday liquor sales?
I thought what he meant by that was a full lot to open it up.
Senator Dietzick, your bill calls for off-sale Sunday liquor sales for growlers.
Yeah.
Senator Reinert, your bill calls for off-sale Sunday liquor sales for micro distilleries. Right. I'm just saying, why would we do it just for these? It seems to me we're just trying to find a roundabout way to bring about Sunday liquor sales for off-sale.
I think you're talking about opening it wide open on Sundays for other things.
Is Mr. Chair, I'm asking them, which they haven't answered, why do it just for these two means?
I don't think they have to answer it. I mean, they're
well,
doing
they don't, they don't have to if they don't want to, but I'm trying to make the point, Mr. Chair, that this is just a roundabout way of going about to get off-sale Sunday liquor sales.
Mr. Chairman, if I could, not at all.
I know. They're sincere in what they're trying to do. Let me put it that way. And they want this passed, and they're not talking about the other issues. So if you want to put that on a different bill, you can. Senator Reinert.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Brown, I didn't contribute before because you're asking questions not about my bill. On my bill, what it does is allow the microbreweries and the brew pubs to do on Sunday what they're doing the other 6 days of the week. The most analogous situation is what we did with the tap rooms last year. They were able to serve the pints 6 days a week. Now they were able to add Sundays as well. Didn't blow the door wide open. Same, very identical situation here. You know, the big difference between the bigger issue, which granted I do advocate for, but I'm not advocating for here, is that liquor stores don't carry growlers. No one delivers growlers. They're only sold at the site. So the argument here is that you have a small business which has 7 days of expenses and is just asking for the 7 days of revenue, especially in the microbrews. These are startup businesses, and I think we all know who have had some business background that it's those first 3 to 5 years that really make or break a business. So this is cash flow for them. And, Mr. Chair, when we can get there, I know we both have a couple testifiers that can speak.
Well, Mr. Chair, just to my point, their language does say off-sale Sunday liquor sales for these areas.
Mr. Chairman.
I'm looking at the amendment.
The A1 bill changes it to malt liquor.
But it's still for off-sale Sunday liquor. That's my point. It's for off-sale Sunday liquor.
It's for growlers, though, only.
Right, but it's still for off-sale Sunday. Yes.
That's what they want to accomplish.
I understand that.
All right. Well,
Mr. Chair, thank you. Senator Brown, yeah, I wasn't quite getting what you mean. And, yes, I think this is a it is just allowing it for growlers, like Senator Reinert said. Liquor stores don't sell them. In my district, a lot of the bars and restaurants that are also open on Sunday that have had some concerns, they're already selling a lot of the beer that these tap rooms and breweries make. And so I think this is a nice way to just kind of move forward and help this small industry.
Okay, we have 4 witnesses. We're going to hear from the witnesses.
Mr. Chair, with your permission, we'll start with my testifier from Sarah from the Canal Park Brewery.
Welcome.
Thank you. My name is Sarah Kavayets, and I am here today on behalf of my family and the Canal Park Brewing Company of Duluth. And we would greatly appreciate the opportunity to be able to conduct fully our business 7 days a week. As it stands right now, not being able to sell growlers on Sundays is quite a large impediment to our service and our ability to market ourselves outside of our 4 walls. We have quite a heavy debt load, and so every glass we sell is a integral piece to our success. We just make our living by 1 pint and a cheeseburger at a time, and the growlers are a fantastic way for us to market ourselves outside of the Duluth area, into the Minneapolis area, and maybe get it into the hands of someone who has never been, nor have they heard of us. And it's a part of our practice at the brewery is that our service, there is no room inside of our service for the word no. If a customer wants something from us, we aim to the best of our ability to provide that for them. And Sundays are the one day of the week where we are perpetually faced with having to go against our own beliefs of quality of service and tell our customers, absolutely no, you cannot have that. It leaves them frustrated and disappointed. They've come up to Duluth and have had a fantastic weekend and are hoping to take a growler of beer home to share with their friends, and they just do not have the opportunity to do so. And that hurts us. It impacts us on a weekly basis. As Senator Reinhart mentioned, we are open 7 days a week. We incur the expenses of all of our business operations 7 days a week, and we are limited to our ability to capitalize on that. That's basically what I have to say.
Did you have a question on the witness?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. And Sarah, I'm not going to try to say your last name. I didn't hear it close enough. So I'm just curious how many growlers you sell on a Tuesday versus Saturday, because that gives me a sense of what you're losing.
Our average sales on a day are Tuesdays in particular, we probably sell 25 to 35 growlers. And the weekends, we can sell anywhere. On a Saturday, we can sell anywhere up to 150.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, very good. Let's hear from the other somebody from Indeed.
Indeed Brewery, yes.
Brewing and the liquor store. Would you please come? Yeah. Welcome to the Minnesota Senate Commerce Committee.
I'm Tom Wisnand. I'm one of the owners of Indeed Brewing Company in northeast Minneapolis. We're just about 3 years old. We're a small production packaging brewery. I'm in a neighborhood in northeast Minneapolis with 7 and counting breweries. And Indeed is a little bit unique in the fact that we have a canning line and we sell our beer across 2/3 of the state. The other breweries in my neighborhood are not quite as large as us, and these growlers are an integral part of their business. And not to be saying it's not a big part of our business as well. When you're a small brewery and you don't have a canning line, you don't have the capital to invest in that, it's hard for you to reach out to customers further away from you than just your local neighborhood or who's in your tap room. Allowing growler sales on Sundays allows these breweries to reach more people and get their brand out there. Think of the typical family that might come down to Minneapolis for a wedding on a weekend, and Sunday's their get-out-of-town day. You may not want to have a pint before you get in the car and drive back up to wherever you're going, but you may want to bring a nice cold growler home, keep it in the cooler, and when you get there, share it with your neighbor or something like that. And that's really what's missing right now. The brewing business is exploding, but it's exploding in a very small explosions across the state, and these breweries need help.
All right, very good. We have, I think, a couple of folks that probably aren't quite so excited about this. Tamara Kramer and Mr. Joel Carlson. Welcome to the Minnesota Commerce Committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I am Tamara Kramer. I'm the owner of Von Foss Liqueurs, Wine, and Spirits at Mall of America. And forgive me, my voice is a little shaky right now, and my emotions are pretty high because everything I've heard from the last two testifiers is exactly the same for me. I am a startup business. In business, for my first anniversary is coming up next month. I have tourists who come to Mall of America to shop who are also disappointed that they cannot buy my liqueur, wine, or spirits on a Sunday. I also can contribute to the sales tax coffers. I support growler sales on Sundays. But why on earth, as Senator Brown asked, would you limit it to one product that's a legal product every other day of the week, just like my products are a legal product every other day of the week? And we take these baby steps every year towards what voters and consumers in Minnesota have overwhelmingly gone on record in polls as supporting. And our tourists, as Sarah pointed out, who are disappointed and frustrated because they're on vacation and they want to buy something to take home to their hotel rooms. I just don't understand what the issue is. This is a legal product. These are adult, consenting adults. I am a small business. There are many other small businesses who this is critically important to our business. And if you don't want to be open on Sundays, liquor store owners, please choose not to be open on Sundays, but give me the right to be open when it makes sense for my customers and myself. Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you very much,
Senator Reiner.
Mr. Carlson, did you wish to comment?
Thank you,
welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members. Joel Carlson. I own a legal research and government affairs business here in St. Paul. And in January, I was retained by Sam Kaplan and the Minnesota Wine and Spirits Wholesaler Association. And our association has concerns similar to those expressed by Senator Brown about this bill, which is just simply that Sunday off sale is not currently allowed. We don't have a position on Sunday sales. But we see a continuing weakening of our liquor regulations by selected groups, whether it's here or in the three-tier system. And we think that as you continue to do that, it just weakens everyone's confidence in our system of liquor regulation. So that would be our comments, Mr. Chairman, and appreciate the opportunity. I know there's a couple more bills coming up. Thank you.
Further discussion, Senator Reinhart. Ed, did you want to, the Teamsters want to, you weren't listed, but I tell you what, you're a great American. We'll let you.
Thank you so much, Mr. Chair. My name's Edward Reynoso. I'm the political director for Teamsters Joint Council 32, and I come here to on several things with regards to this bill. As many people know, last year we had opposition, late opposition to the growler bill, and we had concerns with an employer that had raised an objection to it and said that he believed that in the event of its passage that the trigger mechanism was going to be enacted with a collective bargaining agreement. We've worked throughout the summer, worked with this employer, and I'm happy to say here today that we've gotten through it, and at this point we will not oppose a growler bill. With that being said, a couple things, Mr. Chair, if I may. The difference between my good friend from Duluth's bill and Senator Dietzick's bill, which is also my good friend, by the way, is the reporting. You're absolutely right. But currently, Mr. Chair, there is a reporting mechanism already in place, which is once a year. we're simply asking that it be on a quarterly basis. The reason there is a reporting mechanism there is that craft breweries are limited to 500 barrels per year of sale of growlers. So if we had to pick one of the two bills, we'd prefer the Dietzick bill in that it does have those reporting mechanisms. Thank you.
Thank you. Senator Pratt.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Reiner, and the other thing I'm looking at between the two bills with your A1 amendment doesn't necessarily specify growlers as Senator Dietzick's does. Is yours intended to be both bottles and growlers?
Senator Reiner.
Mr. Chair, Senator Pratt, yes. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Further discussion on either one of these bills? Senator Reinhart, you can move yours. I'm sure you want to.
Mr. Chair, and I'm happy to move Senator Dietzick's as well.
Okay, one at a time, I believe.
All right. Senator Metzen, Mr. Chair, I would move 623 for to be laid over for possible inclusion in the omnibus liquor bill.
Okay. On that, all those in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed?
No.
No.
Motion prevails. Senator Reinhart, would you like to help out your seatmate there?
Mr. Chair, I would move Senate File 1919 to be laid over for possible inclusion in the Senate Commerce Committee's omnibus liquor bill.
Okay. On that motion, all those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
No.
Motion prevails. Senator Ingebrigtsen, are you in the neighborhood here? He was here earlier.
He's coming.
We can go.
He's there.
Oh, there he is. Yes.
Mine's like almost.
Want to bring all the microbrews up together like you did.
Do we want to hear from all of them? All the micro.
Same issues.
Same issues. So I think we'll. Whoever. What? Pardon? We did hear this last year, and Senator Ingebrigtsen is back here, and welcome, Senator, to the Commerce Committee.
Mr. Chairman, thank you so much, and members, for hearing Senate File 872. Let me assure you, right out of the chute, this is not a Sunday liquor license issue. My friend Mr. Panther, sitting next to you, or next to me, excuse me, will describe that in full detail. But Mr. Chairman and members,
exactly.
Panther Distillery was the first whiskey distillery in the state of Minnesota, as you probably know. Mr. Chair, I think you've been around since the first time we came here for some sampling legislation 4 years ago, and I think you'll find out from my constituent here that it's going like gangbusters in Osakis, Minnesota, and what's neat about it, after touring it and knowing the business a little bit, they use the local products there to make this, and it's kind of a win-win for the whole community. But the bill is pretty straightforward. It allows the business to sell a sample, just a small sample bottle, before they leave when they come to visit.
Is that Exhibit A there in front of you?
I believe it is. Yeah. Yes, it is.
That'd be the size.
That would be the size. It's kind of, as you can see, it's kind of a fancy bottle. But I'll let him describe that if I can, Mr. Chair, sure. And I'll turn it over to Mr. Panther.
Good. Welcome, sir.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, committee members, and Senator Ingebrigtsen. Thank you so very much for the opportunity to speak to you today. My name is Adrian Panther, and I am the owner of Panther Distillery, the first legal whiskey distillery in Minnesota. We are located in west central Minnesota in the city of Osakis, population 1,700. Since we opened our doors 4 years ago, we've seen exciting things happen in our small town, an increase in local tourism, the addition of two restaurants and a grocery store.
Yeah, that's all right.
Last September, the city collaborated with our distillery to host an event called Moonshine Madness, which showcased our community and Minnesota's connection to the Prohibition era. It was a hugely successful and is set to be an annual event September 12th this year in Osakis. Panther Distillery has 6 full-time and 1 part-time employee. I've only been able to give 1 pay increase to my employees since we opened 4 years ago. My staff are loyal and believe in what we are doing to grow in the future. So I come to you today asking for your approval on the sale of a small souvenir bottle to sell in our gift shop. The bottle sale I'm requesting is a 375 millimeter in size which is half the size of bottles normally sold. With this additional revenue, I'll be able to make my tourist operations cash flow itself and cover overhead expenses. I see souvenir bottles as a great marketing tool. Visitors can purchase our bottle in the gift shop, take it home with them to share with family and friends to further promote Minnesota-made products and our company. This small bottle represents Minnesota. I see it as a piece of Minnesota that will travel all over the country as tourists take it home with them. A Minnesota brand is what we are. We use the water and locally grown corn, wheat, rye, and even Minnesota-made barrels to create our product. We're excited about what we are doing and hope you will nurture our growth to allow for the sale of a 375 bottle. We have been talking to industry stakeholders last week. There are ways to put limitations on this proposal, such as price exceeds wholesale, reporting requirements, annual sale limits on volume. Also, DHS has pointed out to us, as a manufacturer, our hours can be 24/7, but off-sale hours should apply. We think these are reasonable suggestions and support these inclusions in the omnibus bill. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Panther. That would be the size of the bottle, is that it?
Yes, sir.
They call it 375?
375 milliliter, yes.
Okay. Questions at this time of Senator Ingebrigtsen and Mr. Panther? I think we've got two other.
Yes.
Micro.
Mr. Chair, I think we do have a couple of testifiers that would like to come up.
You do, Senator?
No, I don't.
Oh,
no,
okay.
But I think you do, yes. I'm sorry.
Okay, if you don't, then we'll. Senator Pappas, I think we'll.
Mr. Chairman, they might want to testify on all of them because they're all very similar.
I think they're all separate, aren't they?
Yeah, who wants it? People that I'd want to testify in the audience? Oh, okay. Senator Pappas, why don't we get you up here? Senator Goodwin.
Just a quick question, Senator Ingebrigtsen. How do you regulate only buying one bottle? Or it looks like it's saying, you know.
Yeah, can they go around the corner and come back?
Yeah, tonight? Can they go around the corner and come back?
Come around the block and get another one?
No, they can't. There's already laws in place that prevent that. And then the state already has reporting that we have to report to them about how many bottle sales that we have. So this would just fall into part of that with our bottle sales to the state.
All right. So we'll believe you, Senator
Pappas.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have the A1 amendment, which is an author's amendment. And if that could be passed out, it really puts my bill into very similar condition to Senator Ingebrigtsen's bill, where a microdistillery could sell off-sale one bottle per customer per day of the product manufactured on site. So we don't specify the size. And also in my bill, we also allow them to apply for a license to sell at neighborhood community festivals, similar to what we allow for other wine or beer entities. And with me, I have Mr. Chris Montana with Denord Craft Spirits. He lives in my district, but his business is in Minneapolis.
Okay, before that, without objection, we're going to move on A1 amendment. Senator, I guess you can move your own amendment. Senator Pappas moves the A1 amendment. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion prevails. Sir, Mr. Montana, is it? Yeah. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you for having me. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I appreciate the opportunity to briefly talk with you about this bill and a little bit about the differences between our bill and some of the others that you're going to see. My name is Chris Montana. I'm the owner and head distiller of Due Nord Craft Spirits. We're located in Minneapolis, Minnesota. We started our distillery just a little over a year ago, and we originally started it with a $60,000 loan, and we've been scrapping pretty hard, but business is picking up in large part because of a provision that already moved through this body last year, allowing for cocktail rooms. We're the first in the Twin Cities. There will be many more to come, and it's been a great help to us, and so thank you at the outset for that. like to talk a little bit about the Guild, the Minnesota Distillers Guild. You have three bills in front of you that all are going to tread on the same territory. The one that we're speaking on now is the one supported by the Minnesota Distillers Guild, which is an organization that represents all of the distillers in Minnesota. Some of those distillers are very small. Some of them, by comparison, are very large, with investments ranging from a few tens of thousands of dollars all the way up to several million. They are mostly family-owned, mostly owner-operated. Almost all of them, all of them directly support Minnesota Ag. Some of them are farmers themselves. My wife grew up on a farm. That's where we get our corn from. So we're very much tied into the agriculture community. The bill in front of you, we see as a compromise. Our original bill was wide open. It allowed us to do a number of things. We understand that there are different interest groups that are opposed to that, and so we have tried to work a compromise. And it's worth saying at the outset that it's in our interest, and we recognize that it's in our interest to have strong liquor stores and strong retail locations. That's how we grow. The cocktail room and on-site sales is not going to do it for us if we want to grow from a small industry into a larger industry. And so it is now and always has been our interest to support our liquor stores. But we also need to support ourselves, and we need to carve a path so that way we can hire more people and grow this business. And we also need to be able to compete with our neighbors, all of whom can do much of what we are advocating for here today. So some of the differences between these bills, or at least some of the I'll start with the compromise that we've made. We've limited our bill to one product per person per day. We did that in part to bring it into line with the House Omnibus bill, but also because we understand that there is a fear from retailers and other interest groups that we will and start selling, by the caseload out to folks, and that's not our intention, and we want to make sure that, again, we are supporting our liquor stores. We've also added in that we will have the same hours of operation as any liquor store, and that we adopted the provision from the House Omnibus bill that requires us to sell at 140% of the wholesale price. We do have some concerns over the workability of that, but we understand the concern that we will be underselling our retailers. I don't think that it's anything that we would do, but we understand folks want it, and so it's represented in the bill. And we've also added that our products must be available for distribution, again, responding to the fear that we will just make our booze in our shop and only sell it to people who come there, thereby cutting out the retailers. That's not our intention, and so we've made that change. There are some differences. We, as opposed to the bill you just heard, we do not have a 375 limit. There are a couple of reasons for that. The first is that I'll only speak to two. There are many more, but the first is that the consumer has already voted on the format that they actually want to consume their liquor in, and that's a 750, and we know that because when we go to liquor stores, that's almost all that we see. The second reason is that it is more difficult for the smaller producers to switch formats like that. It's harder for me, and some of the distillers in our state right now are working with $5,000 in the bank between shipments. It's much more difficult for us to buy bottles in two different formats and then wait that extra month before we get paid for it. It's much easier for us to buy the bottles in one format, and particularly the format that people have already expressed an interest in. Our bill includes, and this is not represented in any of the other bills, a provision that allows us to get temporary licenses for social events. We don't think that this is a controversial piece. This just allows us to, the same way that you can go to a beer festival, you cannot go to a spirits festival in Minnesota because we don't have the ability to get any additional licenses, which we would, of course, have to apply for from our municipality, but we don't have the ability to get any of that, and so we're not able to participate in community events, and that has already bitten us a few times, and we think that it's going to be a benefit for Minnesota culture, and I don't think that there's any opposition to that, although... we also do not have in the House Omnibus bill, there is a 12,000 liter requirement. We don't have that in there, and the reason why is because we see the one bottle per person per day as sufficiently limiting the amount that is going to go out of the door.
We got to remember that
I don't, most of us on the committee is not real concerned about what the House did. We're over here to do our job, but.
And I understand that, Mr. Yeah. Chair.
But I do give you guys, you and Mr. McManus and some others, credit for paring this down quite a bit. So, anyway, go ahead. Mr. Senator Kosoka.
One quick question, Mr. Chair, and probably for the senators or other testifiers. So how many shots is in a 3.75 bottle? Because the second bill is twice that, so I'm just trying to get a feel for how many drinks that would be.
It's about how fast you drink them.
I figure you guys know better than anybody
probably
else.
Probably got 2 weeks to drink this big one.
I don't actually have a straight number.
You want to keep it fresh?
Yeah, you could probably get about, out of a 750 milliliter, probably get, depends on the bar, you probably get 300 shots out of a bottle.
Yeah, they're not.
Those would be pretty small shots.
My bottle?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, my bottle? Half that then. You probably get about 100. 150.
No. 100 shots?
I'd say you're probably looking at about 12 shots out of that bottle and maybe closer to 22.
An ounce.
Yeah, oh, it's an ounce. Sorry. I like big shots. No, I'm just.
So the.
I'm not a borrower.
The real answer.
Tell you, not a borrower.
Is that 5,000 proof or no? So the real answer, Mr. Chair, and testifiers, is how many?
It's a drop.
How many?
How many shots?
Dozen.
I don't know.
Dozen.
Seven?
They said dozen-ish.
Dozen, okay. So dozen or 24.
24, 25.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, see, that's the argument. We're not talking
about
that one.
Mr. Chair, just ounces is generally what a shot is, I believe, at a bar. I'm not sure.
Explain it. Was it a
half an ounce?
Was it a half an ounce? I don't know.
That's okay. Yeah.
Mr. Chairman,
Senator Pappas.
Mr. Chairman, you know the guild has three different bills here, different guild members, and what Mr. Montana was talking about are provisions that are in the other body, but they're also in Senator Ortman's bill, who will be coming to the table soon.
We're going
to
kind of,
but we support the things that are in Senator Ortman's bill.
Yeah, we're going to look at all three of them and hopefully come up with something at the end of the day. I'm supportive of what you guys are trying to do. I just, what size bottle and some of this stuff, I don't know about that. But Senator Ingebrigtsen, did
Mr.
you
Mr. Chair, if I could just make one comment. I did hear the other testifier talk about, you know, going to different events. That's not the intention of Panther Distillery. The Panther Distillery is just on site. We're not going to be, has no intentions of traveling with that. So I don't know if that's any different or if that makes a difference for you. Just a point of clarity.
Well, in my opinion, and I'm one vote, but I know the industry kind of disagrees with me a little bit, but I would think you'd pick up a bottle here and try it out, and you like it, and a week or two later, you go to a retailer and buy a bottle or a case or something. So I know people get really nervous about this thing, but I would think it could be a seller for her, but that's my opinion. But I. Senator Ortman, would you like to come up at this time? And thank you, Mr. Montana, and sir, and
thanks.
Panther, is it?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members.
Ken, if you want
to take Senator Ortman, welcome to the Commerce Committee. I don't know if you've been here before, but it's just a wonderful, well-run committee. And very good participation from our members.
Chair back.
Happy to see you here.
Good afternoon. It's very nice to be here, and it's a large committee, so that's kind of nice. I tend to stick to the committees that are very small, so it's nice
the quality
to see so many members.
Committee.
Yes.
No, it's quality and quantity.
Quality and quantity.
Well, and it's good because these issues can be nonpartisan, and they affect so many residents, which is why it's a good thing we have this bill before us, because we have Minnesota producers that have faced barriers to entry in competition, not just here in Minnesota, but across the country. And we want to encourage these Minnesota businesses to have every opportunity to be successful and to compete in the marketplace. And you heard Senator Ingebrigtsen's bill. You've heard Senator Pappas's bill. We're all trying to help these micro distilleries. We have one in my district as well. The J. Carver Distillery and folks from that distillery are here to testify. And they have built a beautiful facility. It is state-of-the-art. They've invested in fabulous equipment. And they are ready to compete. But there are still barriers to entry, and Minnesota legislators can change that by passing one of these bills. Mr. Chair, I would ask if we could offer and move an author's amendment, the A15 amendment, if we could work off of that version.
I'll move that, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, Senator Pappas, I guess, is the A15 amendment to get the bill in the shape that Senator Ortlund would like. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion prevails. On the amendment and the bill, Senator Ortlund.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think all of these authors are trying to work between this committee and what may have happened in the House to make sure we get the best elements of, we can adopt the best elements to help these facilities. And so what this version of the bill does is it would ask our micro distilleries to conform to the hours of sale at retail facilities in their communities, that they could sell their products at no less than 140% of the wholesale charge so that they wouldn't be competing with the wholesalers and in the retail facilities, and also making sure that their brands are available by wholesale distributors, and then finally to make sure that customers can be made aware of where they can find these products elsewhere. They are trying to work through some of the opposition, but I'll just say that we have farm wineries that are able to do these, to sell on site. We have beer tap rooms that are available to sell on site. We want to allow Minnesota producers who are using Minnesota products to be able to compete. And in addition, I would say there are, if you haven't seen this list of micro distilleries in the state of Minnesota, you will see that there are distilleries in my district, in Senator Reinert's district, Senator Stumpf, Ingebrigtsen, Dahl, Marty, Dietzick, Haw, Latz, Nienau, Torres Ray, Eaton, Fishbach, Skoy, Pratt, Sharon, Newman, and Brown. We all want to see these businesses succeed, but more than that, most of these businesses are also using Minnesota vendors. They are getting their supplies from other Minnesota businesses. This is good for our local economies, and it's good for our state's economy. I hope members will support this bill.
Okay, you have a couple of witnesses. I get Mr. Miller and Ms. Fallman from Carver Distillery. You guys want to say a few words?
Yes.
Welcome to our committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and Senators. I had about 5 minutes, but we've covered most. We've covered most of what I was going to say already in these others, so I will keep it a lot shorter than that. But what we're asking you for today is not only going to help us compete, but it's also going to help us grow and grow businesses and help contribute to the social and economic well-being of Minnesota. And when we're talking about competing and why these bills will help us compete, we're not talking about competing against retailers and wholesalers. We're talking about competing against other micro distilleries in other states that have more favorable regulations that we need to compete with here because they're selling here. And if they have better regulations and improved economics, we have challenges. And secondly, if we're trying to give the customer an experience when they come to visit us and they're able to get a superior experience at wineries and breweries, that also puts us at a disadvantage. The second point would be one that Senator Ortlund just made, which is that we are really helping and doing everything we can to make this a positive Minnesota business model. All of the micro distilleries are buying their grains, they're buying barrels and all those different things in Minnesota, and we're all committed to that, and we're also committed to helping have a healthy retail environment as well. When people come to visit us and they want a tour and they want a taste, every time we tell them they can't buy a bottle, they're usually shocked because they've done it in other states or they've done it at the breweries and the wineries down the road. So I would ask you to support this bill.
Mr. Miller, do you have an opinion on the size of the bottle?
I do. I don't think there should be a limit on the size of the bottle. I think the consumer clearly wants...
A couple of gallons? Or
no, I think... Well, no. 750 milliliter would be the common standard. There are economic disincentives to having multiple sizes.
One 7-gallon bottle you could take.
Yeah.
Okay, we get...
I would like 750s, and I also think that if we do smaller bottles, I think it's a negative economic impact both to the producer and the consumer. They're both paying more for less. 1750 economies of scale and makes the consumer happy as well.
Okay, thank you very much, Mrs. Holman. Welcome to the Commerce Committee.
Thank you. Thank you for having us here. And to clarify, so for a 375, it would be about 12 ounces. So if you're thinking of a shot in a cocktail room, it would generally be an ounce. So a 750 would be 25.3 is what it comes out to be.
Chintzy, ounces. A 1 ounce, is that?
Well, you know.
Yes.
Yes. So there's
double. You don't turn the bottle where you got to go.
No, you don't.
Okay, what else, Ms. Holman?
That's what I have. You've heard from all of us, and that's what Mr. Miller has shared, my sentiments exactly.
Okay, we want to hear from, I think, Magnolia. Magnolia was going to talk, I think, on this, and Mr. Carlson again. Okay.
Mr. Chair,
yes.
I'm going to be joined at the table by two folks here.
Okay, we don't have them posted, but that's all right. Welcome, folks. Always identify yourself for the tape when you get going. Joel, do you want to host first?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Joe Bagnoli with McGrand Shea Law Firm on behalf of the Minnesota Licensed Beverage Association and the Minnesota Municipal Beverage Association. I'm joined today, and I'm going to turn it over to them by Joe and Danielle Butler from a liquor store in Carver County.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Danielle Butler, and my husband, Joe, is also here with me today. We are currently the managers and will soon be second-generation owners of a small liquor store in Norwood, Young America called Good Dime Liquors. My father and mother started the business 28 years ago when I was 2 years old. Having grown up around a small business, I witnessed my parents' sacrifices as well as their successes. Joe and I appreciate the opportunity to be here with you today and share our current thoughts on the current proposed liquor regulations. Senators on this committee know that every industry is regulated. The liquor industry, controlled by the three-tiered system, is highly regulated for the benefit of society, consumers, and a level playing field for businesses. We have current rules that I believe are smart, balanced, and allow small and local businesses like Good Time Liquors to compete. My father, my husband, and I make business decisions every day based on our current set of rules and the three-tiered system. In the three-tiered system, manufacturers produce products, wholesalers distribute it, and retailers sell it. This system of alcohol regulation guards against vertical integration for the benefit of all. That is how we and all retail stores have provided excellent product variety and consumer choice and pricing that is competitive and fair. We particularly feature and promote local Minnesota and Carver County products. Minnesota is obviously doing something right under our current regulations. We have alcohol prices below the national average, plentiful liquor stores, a thriving micro distillery industry, as well as craft brewing and small business owners that are able to compete. We're lucky to have a system in Minnesota that allows small family-owned businesses to compete. I think Minnesotans support that as well. The vast, vast majority in the liquor industry have made their business and economic decisions based on the current rules. Changes in the current rules tip the scales to help only a few at the expense of many. It changes the level playing field and would negatively affect my business and upset our three-tiered system. I urge for your support for our small balance system and to stand up for small businesses like mine. Thank you for your consideration.
Thanks,
and your time.
Ms. Butler. Gentlemen, did you wish to?
No, I think my wife did a wonderful job.
Good answer.
Smart man. What the hell? What else can what else could you say? I mean, you want peace in the valley at home? You better. That's you're a pretty clever guy. Mr. Magnoli, did you want to say something, Magnoli?
I don't, Mr. Chair. I think the Butler summed it up very well.
That's a very good one. Mr. Carlson?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Joel Carlson for the Wine and Spirits Wholesale Association. And, you know, our members of our association have grown and thrived under the three-tier system that's been in place for decades since Prohibition. And it was put in place after Prohibition to promote public safety, to provide for even tax collection, and to promote fair competition. You know, the wholesalers that I represent, like the proponents of these bills, are family-owned businesses that have invested heavily in their warehousing, their marketing, their distribution all across the state of Minnesota, and quite frankly, distributing many of the products that we're talking about here today. We have substantial concerns about off-sales at distilleries, whereby a distiller can eliminate the three-tier system by serving as the manufacturer, the wholesaler, and the retailer of their product. This is probably the single largest expansion of the three-tier system that will come across your desk, and we would ask you to think about that cautiously, because once this door is opened, it will be extremely difficult to close. Our concern is not over the size of the bottle. Our concern is about the actual sale itself, at a retail sale itself at the micro distiller. I think the testimony here as it concerns about competition are all well-founded, but we have additional concerns about the bill that I just wanted to put on the record. Number one, there's no consideration for the wholesale tax revenue that is currently generated by these sales from our clients that will be eliminated as a result of allowing micro distillers to directly retail their products. There is no local approval or requirement in the bill as it relates to establishing these micro liquor stores in our jurisdictions and their proximity to other retail establishments. The pricing structure at 140% of the wholesale level, I think, lacks clarity and would be extremely problematic both to enforce and to operate. And lastly, I have not heard a suggestion yet that there is a lack of marketing or ability for these products to get to market. I can tell you that the members that I represent aggressively market these products. They do it across the state of Minnesota as they're obligated to under law. And at its base, we have not seen a situation where a micro distiller like Adrian Panther, love it, it's been there, it's a great place. There's a liquor store right across the street. When you look at 11 Wells, there are 7 liquor stores that are advertised on their website, one which is 1.9 miles away. There are adequate avenues for these products to get to market. They've been given the ability to serve on site with their cocktails and samples. And our concern, if you move in this direction, is that it is a door that you'll never be able to shut. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Be happy to answer questions.
But I, for one, don't think it's a great big door, so you can
I appreciate that,
watch how we go forward. So it's not, I believe quite a bit, quite strongly over the years about the three-tier system, but I don't think this is going to go as far as you think, but that's my opinion. But Senator Pappas, to you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think all three bills are trying to find the balance between supporting our retailers. As Mr. Montano said, they depend on the liquor stores, certainly to sell their products. They depend on the wholesalers to deliver their product, but trying to also deal with the customer who comes for a tour of the micro distillery and then leaves disappointed and an unhappy customer because they can't at least take one bottle. And at least two of these bills do restrict it to just one bottle per customer. So I think it's a reasonable approach. And at the appropriate time, I would like to move all three of these bills be laid over for consideration.
Did we vote the first two?
No.
Okay. Senator Pratt.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It's been interesting testimony. Just one thought that I'd like to consider as we move forward for consideration in the omnibus. A growler is approximately 5 12-ounce beers. A bottle of wine is approximately 5 glasses of wine. Mr. Chair, I think the way you and I pour...
don't include me if you're...
just inferring from your previous
comments
that the 350 would be about 4 or 5 cocktails, and so I think the 350 is on par with all of the other ways that we've talked about allowing direct sales, and I think we should be looking for consistency.
Senator Ingebrigtsen wanted to pass that bottle around here earlier, but I wisely said
somebody emptied it.
It
was empty.
It's been there all day.
All right, who else would like to testify for or against this? Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members.
Welcome to the Senate committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Edward Reynoso with the Teamsters. You know, there's a couple things on several of these bills that do have we do have some concern. First of all, anytime there's alcohol beverages that circumvent the three-tier system, it certainly is a concern of ours in that it's circumventing that wholesaler. But with that being said, I have had conversation with Senator Ingebrigtsen and Mr. Panther. And while some of these bills do have limits, there's a huge concern that there are some that do not. And just to put it in perspective, even at a 12,000-liter limit, amounts to 32,375 milliliter bottles. If the intent of the industry is to provide somebody a quick sample, six shots is a nice sample. But 32,000 or no limits at all, in our opinion, is unacceptable and would circumvent the three-tier system. So there are certainly concerns in conversation with the Senator. We believe a limit of maybe 3,000 is much more reasonable.
What's which 3,000 amounts
3,000 liters.
Oh, okay.
I believe there's one of the bills provides for a 12,000 liter limit per year. And so that would amount to 32,000 samples or 375 milliliter bottles. So we believe that making it a little more reasonable in that the three-tier system isn't affected as much, to limit it to 3,000 liters per year at 375 milliliter bottles is 8,000 samples. If the intent from the industry is to provide samples, 8,000 samples, I think, is pretty fair.
All right.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Further discussion on any three of these bills? Further discussion, Senator Pappas. Could she move all three at one time?
I think we better do one at a time.
I think we better do one at a time.
I'll move Senate Bill 637 as amended, be laid over for possible inclusion.
Further discussion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion prevails.
And I'll move Senate Bill 872. I don't think it was amended. Be laid over for possible inclusion.
Okay. On that motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed.
No.
Motion prevails. And the third one, Senator Ortman.
Move that Senate Bill 1788 be laid over for possible inclusion.
As amended.
I think we amended that one.
Yeah.
As amended.
Okay. The motion, Senate Bill
1788.
As amended, be recommended, pass, and move for consideration on the omnibus bill. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Motion prevails. Well, let's see. Senator Pappas, you have another one. Senate File 1065. I want to compliment the committee on good discussion and moving things along. I know Senator Fishback, she wanted to come back tonight, but.
Mr. Chair, I really did.
I don't
know. I really did. I'm so disappointed.
Sure, we can work on it. We can slow down.
Is he going to buy dinner for everyone?
Oh, yeah. You'd have to buy dinner for the whole crowd. Then.
But Mr. Reiner. Chair, that's why I was coming back, because you had already offered that. So
All right, Senator Pappas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members. This is my craft brewing bill for the session, and what we would like to do is to be able for the brew pubs in the state to be able to sell their liquor at the state fair, which is where we're trying to showcase Minnesota products. So it makes sense to us that they be allowed to do that. And with me, I have Mr. Dan Schwartz from the Liftbridge, and he is president of the Minnesota Craft Brewers Guild, who's here to talk about their desires to do that.
And welcome to the committee.
Thank you for having me. Sorry, I'm not playing Candy Crush. I just got a phone call. I'm trying to read my speech here. Mr. Chair and committee members, thank you.
You can read it if it's not a real long speech.
Yeah, it's not real long.
All right, thank you.
I'm here representing the 66-plus craft brewery members here in the state of Minnesota. This bill, Senate File 1065, is our top legislative priority this year. We all know that the State Fair was a venue created to showcase Minnesota agriculture and products, and that tradition is alive today. However, brew pubs unfortunately are limited so that they can only sell to venues that they own, and that prevents them from participating largely in the State Fair for those 12 days of festivities. The Guild believes that it's illogical that brew pubs would be excluded from promoting their products at the Great Minnesota Get-Together alongside with other craft brewers. This bill would allow Minnesota brew pubs to distribute through a licensed wholesaler and sell to licensed retailers at the State Fair only on those grounds and only for the 12 days of the Minnesota State Fair. So please support our industry by removing this barrier and allowing the brew pubs the same opportunity as breweries to display their products at the Minnesota State Fair. On behalf of the Minnesota Craft Brewers Guild, I thank you for your support.
Members, any questions? Senator Latz.
Thank you. Where at the State Fair do you propose to show your crafts off?
Senator Pappas, our testifier.
Mr. Schwartz.
Thank you. We would propose that it would not be limited to any single location or to a single booth. The vendors at the State Fair can change year to year based on the State Fair's decisions. And so we're proposing that it's confined to the State Fairgrounds only for those 12 days at this point. Retail establishments that hold licenses with the State Fair would be able to choose whether or not they want to carry brew pub beer. I can say that the Minnesota Craft Brewers Guild has had a booth there in the past, and we hope to have one again this year. And should this pass, we would certainly be showcasing brew pub beer at our booth.
Senator Latz, more questions?
Is that clear, Mr. Chairman? Ms. Senator Latz, it's not only at their booth, but if there are other retailers at the fair who would like to sell, they have the license to, and they'd like to sell a product from one of the, I think we have 14 brew pubs, they would be able to do that. It wouldn't be restricted to just their own booth.
But Mr. Chairman, Senator Pappas, the other products that are sold at the fair in that manner are distributed through the ordinary distribution network to get to the fair, aren't they?
Senator Pappas?
Senator Latz, that's correct. And the bill proposes that the brew pub beer would be sold in that same exact manner through licensed wholesalers to the licensed retailers.
Okay. So I guess, Mr. Chairman, I guess I'd like maybe to hear a little more about that from other testifiers as well. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, currently we have out-of-state brew pubs that are allowed to sell their product. Like the flyer talks about Oscar Blues from Longport, Colorado, is allowed to out-of-state brew. Other out-of-state brew pubs are allowed to, through the distributor, sell their product, but at the Minnesota State Fair, the Minnesota brew pubs are not.
All right, Senator Reiner.
I'll wait till we get our other testifier.
Okay. All right, who are the other testifiers on this bill? Is Mr. Bagnoli, are you going to testify on this bill?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Joe Bagnoli on behalf of the Minnesota Licensed Beverage Association, the Minnesota Municipal Beverage Association, I'm testifying on the bill. The bill, as we initially understood it, and perhaps there was some misunderstanding, but as it was initially presented to me last summer, my understanding was is the proposal was to sell this product at the Brewers Guild Exhibit Hall in the Horticulture Building. They've had a very successful place where they've exhibited their wares, and after a good deal of thought on this, because this represents a change from the current parameters under which brew pubs operate, I've passed around, and I think you all have it now, a sheet that indicates the differences between craft breweries and brew pubs, because on one hand, they seem very similar because they all have the word brew in there. But there is different benefits that are accorded, depending on the choice the person who starts the company makes at the beginning. And for brew pubs, right now, if you choose to be a brew pub, you are essentially a restaurant with a small brewery in it. And actually, Senator Pappas, I think 12, 13 years ago, offered this. I listened to the testimony the other day, and it was the idea was you will be a restaurant, small brewery. You'll only sell your product in that site, at that site. A couple years later, it was expanded. If you owned multiple sites, you could sell the product in the sites that you owned, multiple sites, which is an enormous departure. No other small brewery or brew pub in the United States is allowed to sell to unlimited number of sites. They may sell their own beer, and they may sell others' beer and wine and spirits as well, which brewers, if you have a tap room, you can't do that. So this represents them attempting to sell beyond their sites that they own. One of the sites that's on the back of this actually is in the State Fair. Freehouse owns their location at the State Fair. One of the ways to get into the State Fair, if you are a brew pub, is to apply for an exhibit license, be accepted into the State Fair, set up a booth at the State Fair, and you can sell your product. Freehouse, which is listed on the back, did just that. So we viewed this as an exception, but for the reasons that Senator Pappas said, we said, okay, one location at the State Fair where they show the wares of the State Fair. It's Minnesota Great Get Together. It's a place where we show what's great about Minnesota. We think it's appropriate to make this limited exception for that one location. We've now come to find that actually the proposal is to go beyond that. I testified in the House that I was neutral on this based upon my understanding that this was one site. Actually, the entire conversation in the House, including the House author who agreed that this would be at one site, was about the one site. It's now, and the language reflects this, is that there is a call for multiple sites within the fair. We think that is too far and too great of an exception at this point. We want brew pubs in the fair. As Senator Pappas said, she brought this to allow brew pubs to be in the fair. And we agree with that at the site where all of the other breweries sell their wares.
Thank you. Questions, members? Anybody else that wants to testify on this? Senator Pappas, any way that there could be a compromise worked out?
Mr. Chairman, we certainly could still discuss that. I was not really aware until this morning that when I ran into Mr. Bagnoli, because like he said in the House, I guess it didn't come up. We were under the impression that everything was clear. But, you know, we have a couple days. We can certainly still be discussing it. I think that's true with a lot of these bills we're laying over for possible inclusion.
I agree. So, Senator Pappas, you want to move your bill with that?
Senator Reiner wants to.
You good?
Okay, right. Then I would move that Senate File 1065 be laid over for possible inclusion in the omnibus.
Yeah, you're good. Yeah.
All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed?
No.
Motion prevails. Next up, Senate File 1024, Senator Housley.
Mr. Chairman, don't we have a tradition that the first time you have a bill before the committee, you bring treats?
Senator Ryder, when it's a liquor bill, it's liquor.
That'd really be a treat.
Liqueur.
Just kidding.
Senator
Holloway,
Chair.
Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have Senate File 1024, and this is a bill to repeal Minnesota Statute Section 340A.412, Subdivision 3, which says that a municipality may only issue one liquor license per business or person. Current state law forbids a city from issuing a second liquor license to an entity who already owns a liquor store in that city. This repealer will allow cities more freedom in granting liquor licenses and, when warranted, provide more competition. All control of off-sale liquor licenses rests with the issuing city. This will not change. Supporting this bill allows businesses and cities to make choices related to growth or expansion. This bill will create jobs by removing outdated mandates obstructing growth. And I have some testifiers.
Senator Housley, do you want to have your testifiers speak first, or members, do you have questions? Otherwise, we'll keep moving on.
Testifiers first, yep, please, Mr. Ahead. Chair. Thanks.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I'm Jamie Poole, president of the Minnesota Grocers Association. We are a state trade association that represents the retail food industry. We've been around for over 117 years. We have over 200 retail members with 1,100 stores statewide, as well as approximately 100 wholesale and manufacturer partners. Our member companies employ over 125,000 union and non-union Minnesotans. I first of all want to thank you for the opportunity to speak to this very simple bill today. But I'd like to provide you with a little background about who we are and why we're here. I'm sure many of you will remember the infamous Wine with Dinner campaign, where we, along with our customers, asked the legislature to consider allowing the sale of wine in grocery stores. This was an incredible controversial issue, though at the time 33 other states allowed it. The response from our opposition was, if you want to sell liquor, then you should get into the liquor business. Well, we already had the ability to sell 3-2 malt beverages. A lot of our members took that challenge to heart, wanting to meet the ever-changing needs of their customers, and they got in the liquor business. Many of you have shopped in a liquor store that may be owned or operated by one of our members. These stores tend to be adjacent to our grocery stores, though not always, and they are compliant with all state laws. They must have a separate entrance with a dividing vestibule. They are located in many communities all across the state. These stores operate under the same set of rules and regulations as all other liquor stores. Simply put, they're liquor stores, and they are run and managed by your local grocer. Our food culture here is locally grown. It stays viable because it provides top-of-the-line service, competitive prices, and consumer choice. The MGA has a multitude of members that are third, fourth, or fifth generation family-owned businesses. The grocers operate as the heart of their community. They sponsor ball teams, supply food for fundraisers, and help those in need. We provide first-time jobs for teens, place seniors, give them supplemental income, as well as outstanding lifetime careers. Our stores can supply anywhere from 50 to 350 full and part-time jobs. Senate File 1044 before you today simply addresses one of Minnesota's antiquated liquor regulations. This law regulates a city's ability to issue licenses. At its core, this bill is about jobs, brick-and-mortar expansion, and consumer choice. It will simply allow liquor store owners the opportunity to apply for additional liquor licenses within a jurisdiction. City councils will make their decisions to grant available liquor licenses after doing their due diligence on what is best for their communities. This will provide municipalities more control and flexibility to meet the demands of their communities, creating a robust and energized Main Street. The reason for this law is clear. It will allow cities to make the best choices for their constituents and drive the success of Main Street economy. An additional reason that may not be as clear for the change is that, unfortunately, this regulation encourages businesses to work around the system using smoke and mirrors to gain municipal licenses in communities. It is our belief that having a law on the books that encourages end-arounds and a lack of transparency with controlled substance is not the original intent of the law. Therefore, we support and believe this repeal is necessary. This bill is very small but significant. I want to reiterate that it does not change the number of liquor licenses in a city. It does not change the standalone liquor store model, nor does it infringe on the current municipal liquor structure. All it does is place control and flexibility at local government. Every individual liquor store would have the opportunity to be approved for a license. It eliminates winners and losers and ensures that everyone gets a fair chance at growing their business. With that, I would be happy to stand for questions, and thank you.
Senator Reiner.
Thank you, Chair. Mr. Chair. Ms. Fuel, would it be accurate to sort of frame this as a local option? I mean, we're not saying you must, but a local issuing authority could issue more than one license, or they could say, we only want one, that's what works for our community, and we're only going to issue one.
Ms. Field.
Mr. Chairman, Senator, absolutely. And we have seen it in a multitude of areas where they've denied licenses for whatever their purpose is. They've denied a multitude of businesses to come in. The city gets to make that decision.
Senator Housley, before we go farther, because the cities have been mentioned a couple times, do they have a position on this one way or the other?
Mr. Chair, they have not taken a position on this. They're neutral.
Okay, next testifier, I've got Bob Margit. Maybe. I can move. I'll move off down the list. Curtis Funk.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Curtis Funk, Lunds and Byerly's in Twin Cities. Lunds has been a part of the Twin Cities community now for 75 years. We're family-owned with third generation. A lot of our employees are second, third, and fourth generation, actually comprise 32% of our total company. We're both union and non-union in terms of our employment. The opportunity to have a change in this law, it really helps us from the standpoint of planning. Today, when we look at a potential site acquisition, one of the challenges is you've got to make a decision to say, is that the only location I'm going to build in that particular area? And if so, do I want to put a liquor license in it? Or do I play a long game and wait with capital expenditures and maybe build one down the road? Of the 28 stores that we operate in the Twin Cities, 10 of them do have wine and spirit shops. What's probably more frightening to us is the idea of a potential acquisition down the road. So with the Rainbow acquisition that just occurred this last year, the challenge is if one of those locations we were looking at had a wine and spirit operation in it, that affects our valuations and what we'd be able to pay for that property. So it really gets to be a challenge in terms of even mergers and acquisitions down the road for us.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Let's
take the last testifier on the list and then see if we've got more questions or testifiers. I've got Ron Pickle, and I think it's Rochester Hy-Vee. Is that right?
Yeah. Yes, I'm not with the city of Rochester. I just run one store in Rochester. We do have three stores in Rochester. We have 16 stores in the state of Minnesota, soon to be 19 with the moving into the Twin Cities area. With the three in Rochester, we are building the fourth, so one of us does have a liquor license. Two of us currently do not. The other one would not be able to under the current law. I guess I would just like the opportunity to be able to apply for a license and compete with my brother that's running the Hy-Vee store and give us all the opportunity to be on the same playing field. We have our customers that come into the store and wonder, you know, where our liquor is. Our other location has it. How come you guys don't? I explain the one license per city per corporation to them, and they just can't figure that out. So, you know, we just go on. I'd just like the opportunity to be able to do it. It would still be up to the city of Rochester, whatever city, you know, we deal with, that they would grant the license. We'd have to be good citizens and do everything else properly, but I just like that opportunity so we can compete at more of a level playing field. And like Curtis said, with us expanding into the Twin Cities market, it does make us think a little bit harder on how many stores you're going to put into a suburb or a city because of the fact that if you can only have one of them with a liquor license, you might not consider ever putting the second one in.
Mr. Pickle, is that an older or younger brother that you're competing with?
He is older. I have a brother and a sister. They're both Hy-Vee. They're both Hy-Vee store directors, but we're as competitive as any other brother and sister. You want to beat them? I beat one last week. I didn't beat the other one last week. So
I get that. Members, any other questions? Not at all.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. And this bill I'm a little more concerned with. You know, we heard good testifiers regarding some limits to the distilleries and so forth. And we heard excellent testimony from the butlers, the small mom and pop. And the fact that I have three grocery stores here testifying for this bill, but not anybody from the city or even I don't know if someone's going to be talking against this, but I do believe that this one maybe goes a little too far in terms of worrying about those smaller mom-and-pop liquor stores. So that would be my concern. And while I hear the arguments regarding the city and, you know they get to make those choices, I still know the pressure that's put on them by, you know, the larger businesses that come in and kind of shove the little guy aside. So those are my concerns.
You know, Senator Dahl's comments, I'm just wondering, do we have anybody that is here to testify in opposition that wants to come and publicly testify? If you want to come to the table and state your name and share some brief comments, that would be great. Members, I think we're going to go just a little longer, too, so we have one more bill after this. I think we'd all rather finish now than this evening.
Hi, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Kim Wilson, and I own Oaks Wine and Spirits in Oak Park Heights, which is in Stillwater, Ms. Housley's area. We've owned the store for 5 years, and I work full-time there, and we also have 3 additional employees. We are the mom-and-pop store that this bill is affecting. We're proud to be small business owners in the Twin Cities, and we are opposed to this bill. Just like Senator Dahl was mentioning, it would push us out, allowing multiple large grocery store chains or others, you know, Walgreens or Costco or whatever, allowing multiple large chains like that to take over a city. As you probably know, cities don't usually deny liquor licenses. So if the law was passed, they'd easily, all these large grocery stores would easily get their licenses that they're looking for. So this bill, the multiple licenses bill, we're against it, and we just think that it gives the big box chain store retailers an unfair advantage.
Thank you. Thank you for coming down.
Sure.
Sir, state your name for the record and proceed.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Ken Rockler, and I'm here representing the Tavern League of Minnesota. Just quickly, there are winners and losers on this bill. And as the young lady to my right just said, it's going to be the mom-and-pop stores that are going to lose. Minnesota does not have overly restrictive requirements. There may be states that have lesser requirements, but Colorado, for example, allows only one store per owner there. There's a reason for that. There is no way that the small stores can compete against the large stores that want this to come through here. So I guess I would look for a fairness issue on this. Thank you for the opportunity to testify.
Thank you, sir. And Senator Jensen, you had a question or comment?
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. I guess I do also have some really big concerns with this, mostly because those small mom-and-pops are so regulated on what they can sell within their liquor store. And I know the reason we have grocery stores here is it does go hand-in-hand with some of the products that you get, and it's available, even though you have to be disconnected through a door. The reason that grocery stores are so interested, even deciding where you're going to put your store based on the liquor sales, obviously you're going to take a lot of that business away from those small businesses that are there. So just from your pure testimony today, I hope we don't do this. I hope we keep the competitive groceries with groceries and liquor with liquor. I know we kind of changed it a little when we let them add that extra on the end, but I'm very cautious about this and very concerned about my local liquor stores when we're going to allow a company to have more than one license.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Housley.
In your packet there is the mayor of the city of Rochester who does support this bill, so I wanted to make sure you saw that. There have been cities that have denied the bigger stores. Andover denied Walmart a liquor license. And again, this bill doesn't increase the number of licenses per city, and it doesn't mandate these licenses. It's just giving the freedom for the cities to decide whether or not they want to grant the licenses.
Thank you.
Thank you. I would like to move Senate File 1024 to be considered to lay over in the omnibus liquor bill.
All right. Members, Senator Housley moves Senate File 1024 be passed and or laid over for possible inclusion in the omnibus bill. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Motion does not prevail. The last bill we have is Senate File 1131. Senator Pappas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members. Since we're the last bill, it's almost like being the last speaker before lunch. We don't want to take up too much time. Senate File 1131 would allow a liquor store under common ownership to transfer wine between stores once every 3 months. And I actually have the compromise amendment, the A1 amendment, that we should probably pass out and adopt.
All right. Senator Pappas moves the A1 as an author's amendment to get the bill in the shape she wants. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Amendment is adopted.
As I'm saying, this would enable liquor stores with more than one location to even out their inventory and help to prevent wine from spoiling at one store when it could be sold at a different location. And this would be allowed only once every 3 months, and with the amendment not to exceed 500 cases. The bill does not allow warehousing of product. Minnesota's liquor laws prohibit liquor stores from storing inventory off-site. It does not violate the three-tier system. Wine would still have to be purchased through the wholesalers, and it does not allow one retailer to sell wine to another retailer. It also includes legislation for a notification so that we can kind of keep track and make sure that the limits are being obeyed. And I have with me Mr. Ed Cooper, who is the Vice President of Total Wine, who is going to address this issue briefly.
Good afternoon, Mr. Cooper. State your name for the record and proceed.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. My name is Edward Cooper. I'm the Vice President of Public Affairs for Total Wine and More. We're a retailer here in Minnesota. We've got four stores in Minnesota. We at Total Wine and More, we're all about the customer and customer service, and that's exactly what this bill is about. This bill does absolutely nothing to subvert the three-tier system. In fact, if anything, I think it strengthens it. We adhere to the three-tier system in all the states in which we operate. It works very well, both here and throughout the country. But as the senator mentioned, this is a bill that talks about inventory balancing and controls. The common myth out there is that wine gets better with age, and I'm here to tell you that's a myth. In fact, wine gets worse with age over time. Only a very small percentage of wine gets better with age. And so when you're ordering wine for your retailers, you need to be able to make sure that you're going to do that effectively and efficiently. And sometimes wine gets stuck in stores. We found that not only here in Minnesota, but in other places as well. And I think other retailers find that also. The retailers in this state are really good at ordering, but everybody's human. And that wine does get stuck. Customers may want several cases of Merlot in a retailer store in Chaska, but that wine may be stranded in Woodbury. All this bill would do is allow the ability for that retailer who owns both of those stores to be able to move, for the customer's convenience, that wine from one store to another. This bill has absolutely zero to do with beer and absolutely zero to do with distilled spirits. Beer turns very quickly. There's no issues whatsoever in terms of beer. And distilled spirits is not a agricultural product. It's a product that can be created. You can always create more of that. And so distilled spirits is not contemplated. It does not spoil. That's correct. So we are fully in favor of and supportive of the amendments that were agreed to. And with that, I would ask you to move forward the bill. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Cooper. Any questions? Okay, with that, we'll move on to Mr. Madigan from the Minnesota Beer Wholesalers. And why don't we bring up Mr. Rockler from the Tavern League of Minnesota at the same time? Or perhaps Joel Carlson instead.
Sure.
Mr. Madigan, state your name for the record and proceed.
Mr. Carlson's going to start.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Mr. Carlson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. Joel Carlson for the Wine and Spirits Wholesalers. And I'm going to be very brief. I fear with all the liquor bills in one day I risk overexposure, and you don't want me overexposed. Our association has looked at this bill, and we have some concerns about it. We're not quite sure about the need for the bill and the need to not be included in Subdivision 12. If you actually go to the statute, it's not in front of you, but Subdivision 12 is the prohibition against off-site storage of intoxicating liquors. The descriptions that we've heard of this bill really don't seem to match up with the need for the bill. A customer needs a couple cases of Merlot, and we can transfer it from one store to the other. With the restriction in the bill, that only happening once every 3 months just seems a little bit remote to us. And so we just have some concerns about it. I appreciate the amendment as it relates to some reporting requirement to try and track how the limited staff at alcohol and gaming would try and enforce it. But we have some concerns about the bill, Mr. Chairman, and appreciate the testimony and happy to answer questions as we hear more about it, because it's something that we're not quite sure of the need for. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. And, Mr. Chairman, I just wanted to say that the three-month limit and the 500-case limit really was to demonstrate to the opposition that we're very open to compromise and that we sincerely were not talking about warehousing. We're just really talking about a business being able to handle their inventory in an efficient manner.
So, Senator Pappas, if this did get laid over for possible inclusion, that number would be something you're at least open to talking about.
Absolutely.
All right. Thank you. Mr. Madigan, the Minnesota Beer Wholesalers.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senators, Mike Madigan with Madigan, Dahl, and Harlan, representing the Minnesota Beer Wholesale Association. I appreciate the Senator's comments, and we'll certainly are willing to pursue that dialogue. Perhaps I could very briefly, though, articulate what our concern is. As we saw with the distilled spirits bills, what happens in one part of the industry likely happens in another. So I understand why this is not currently drafted to affect beer. We do have concerns because we are concerned it could lead to perhaps some unintended consequences. We do feel that similar to the last bill, this could decidedly tip the scale again in favor of very large mega retailers to the detriment of small family-owned retailers. Under current law, retail-to-retail sales are prohibited for several reasons. First, in order to ensure complete accountability and transparency with this heavily regulated product, regulators and the Department of Revenue require that suppliers ship to distributors that come to rest in their warehouse, distributors sell to retailers that comes to rest in their store, and then retailers obviously sell to consumers. At each one of those stages, the product is subject to audit by either the Alcohol and Gambling Enforcement Division or by the Department of Revenue to ensure that all alcohol laws are being obeyed and to ensure that all taxes have been paid. So we're concerned, at least with the bill, even with 500 cases, that it would create too much leeway in that instance. And then secondly, this bill would permit a mega retailer — 500 cases of wine is a lot of wine — it would permit a mega retailer to order product from one store, warehouse the product at that store, and then distribute to its other stores. And in this way, it would invade the typical function that the middle tier has in our three-tier system. So we have concerns about that. And then finally, it's also a mechanism for this one particular retailer that's been in this state for about a year, I believe, or 11 months, would allow them to take advantage of volume discounts that wouldn't be available to the mom-and-pop retailers, and in that way has the potential to upset what in Minnesota has been a fairly orderly market. And obviously all alcohol regulation on the one hand is trying to balance competition and availability on the one hand with control on the other, and the goal is an orderly market where you have wide variety, you have competition, you have adequate availability, but you don't promote hyper competition, which can lead to over promotion and overconsumption and obviously alcohol abuse. So those are the concerns of the Minnesota Beer Wholesaler Association, and we are certainly willing to continue a dialogue over the bill, and I appreciate the Senator's offer.
And Senator Pappas, is this the first year this has been introduced?
This first year this is proposed, yes, Mr.
Okay.
Chairman.
I didn't know. Mr. Rockler, go ahead and testify.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Mr. Madigan spoke more eloquently than I on most of my points, but I will say this. I have some personal experience in this. The past president of the American Beverage Licensees, which is the national organization that provides an umbrella for the state organizations, he does own a liquor store, and he takes advantage of this in Indiana, but the small stores are just crushed there because it ends there. They have open warehousing, by the way, but really 500 cases is a lot of where this will be backdoor warehousing. So I would hope that you would not pass this bill.
Thank you, sir. The last testifier on the list is Mr. Reynoso.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I get to be the last one of the day, I think, maybe.
Clean up, man.
So as Mr. Madigan had indicated very eloquently, there are concerns, the impact that it could have to the industry. And just to put it in relative terms, 500 cases, and I appreciate the senator that's hoping we can hope to work with on this issue and talk about what the limits were. But to put it in perspective, most cases have about 12 bottles of wine, and so 500 cases is 6,000 bottles per quarter. It's 24,000 bottles of wine. And that puts it in perspective. And so that isn't somebody that just wants a case. That's a lot of cases. So we do have concern. And as the organization that represents a good portion of the wholesale and distribution of this product, it's a concern of ours. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Pappas.
Just to respond, to remind the committee members that we're not talking about beer. We're just talking about wine, which, as Mr. Cooper said, does have a shelf life, not as limited as beer, but does have a shelf life. And we're talking about all retailers, family retailers. Some family retailers also have more than one store and appreciate the opportunity to be able to balance their inventory if they mistakenly ordered too much for one store, to be able to sell it at a different store where it's in higher demand. It's a pretty simple kind of concept. It's kind of commonsensical that you should be able to transfer wine from one store to another. We did put in the notification requirement to try to, so people were not so concerned about about a paper trail. And also the 500, if the members think that 500 cases is too many, we certainly could drop that number. But I would hope that we could still stay in the mix so that we can still negotiate this over the next couple days.
Senator Dalton. Oh.
Well, that's
I
later
thought
that's
you were wanted to talk on this one, but I guess I was wrong. Okay, any further comments, discussion?
Then, Mr. Chairman, I'd move that Senate File 1131 be laid over for possible inclusion in the omnibus bill.
Further discussion? All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
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 Motion prevails.
Thank you.
Yeah, one time.
Oh, what have we got here?
If I could, Mr. Chair, indulge the committee for 3 minutes. I do have an amendment that I probably will withdraw right away, but I do want you to see it. I know you don't care what the House does, but it's part of the House omnibus liquor bill, and it may have to be combined in conference. But because this is the liquor bill, and we're worried, the reason I would withdraw, and we're worried it might go to judiciary, and I know that you don't want to have to deal with the Judiciary Committee on this particular bill, but there's a one-sentence addition that I hope that if discussion should prevail as this bill moves along. In the Minnesota, obviously, when you go to liquor stores these days, you need a ID. And as you can see from this amendment, the acceptable forms of ID include a license, a passport, military ID, but you cannot use an instruction permit. As a driver's ed teacher, a 26-year-old could, for the first time, want to get a license. But if you're over 19 in Minnesota, you have to have a permit for at least 3 months before you can actually take a road test to get your license. So all we're doing is adding a valid instructional permit, which isn't allowed right now, as a form of ID, which would clearly show your age, et cetera. So that's all I needed to say. I think there's someone in the audience that may or may not need to speak, but just wanted you to be aware of that kind of omission in the law, and it could be it is kind of problematic for as we ask for IDs.
Thank you,
more.
Senator. We did tell you, and I did talk about this earlier, and it's probably a good idea, but when we send things out of this committee to another committee, sometimes a
so
chicken comes back looking like
for
a
your
frog.
Time
you know,
on
so.
That.
Did you want to say something on that? Or, okay. Okay. Thank you for that. So I think I want to compliment the committee. A lot of good work, a lot of bills here today, and we'll see what happens as we come back with Wednesday. We'll have something available tomorrow afternoon to the members. So with that, thank you all for your attendance, and meeting's adjourned.